Hello and welcome to the Isle of Man podcast, where essentially we talk to people about why they love the Isle of Man. But we can also talk as well about why sometimes we're not very positive, maybe, about this island that we live on. And what can we do about that? What can we really do to change the mindset? And every guest nominates somebody else. And Dewan Christian was a guest on a previous podcast. And our guest today is his nomination.
My name is Rowan Henthorne, and I'm a marine scientist. I grew up on the Isle of Man, and now I lead the Manx Blue Carbon Project. I travel to a lot of places, and I still think the Isle of Man is one of the most beautiful. It's a really, really special island, and especially underwater, it's magical. I grew up spending a lot of time in the sea here, and, you know, I've travelled and spent time underwater in many different places, but there's something incredibly magic about the seas around the Isle of Man.
There's something amazing about saying I've spent a lot of time under the sea. That is just like, it's just not something, I suppose, that a lot of us get the chance to do. But we are this island nation and we're sort of very used to seeing that physical side of it. But this whole world that's under there and that history as well, I guess.
Yeah, and it's funny because I think, you know, being a small island nation, you know, some people might not think that they're that connected to the sea, but it's funny when you go away from it. So I spent some time travelling across Australia, and it's amazing how strange it feels when you don't see the tide going in and out every day. And I think when you do live on a small island, you use the sea as a kind of a clock, as a rhythm, and seeing how different the seas are in the summer compared to when we get kind of battered by these winter storms, you know, I think we're all completely connected to the seas around us, and that's something that's really special about living on an island like this.
And did you grow up then in a household where that was what you did? Is that where this came from, do you think, for you?
My dad was a commercial diver before I was born. He used to make money by, I don't know whether he was allowed to or not, but you used to go diving and collect lobsters and sell them to the restaurants. So when we were really little, you know, 4 and 5, my brother and I would almost be scratching around on the beach at Danlang Ness while he was going and diving for lobsters. And then when we were old enough, we started snorkeling with the seals and eventually diving. So yeah, the sea has always been a part of our lives growing up.
And obviously then you've gone into this career, travelled all over the world. At what point did that pull back to the Isle of Man really set in?
I did my undergraduate and then I went travelling and I lived in Australia and Indonesia for a little while, and then I came back and did a master's down in Plymouth. And I think almost in my head I was like, I'll go back to the Isle of Man, save up some more money and go away again. And I think there's something that's so amazing about the Isle of Man is the connections that you make with people and how you can kind of put a thought out there and suddenly you're meeting somebody who's connected to that area. So, for example, I met Fiona Gale and we hit it off, and she was actually doing a lot of work on plastics at the time and got me in to do a little bit of work. And because we used to have the marine lab over here, the Isle of Man actually has an incredible network of marine scientists on the island, and also, you know, some of the leaders in marine science across the UK and the world have Isle of Man based connections. So it's actually a fantastic place to work in this field. And so once I started doing marine plastics, and then, you know, other marine projects came up, and I kind of went from there, really. It wasn't really an intentional plan, but I'm incredibly glad that it worked out the way it did. I'm a believer in manifestation, or like putting an idea out into the universe. And, you know, it's hard to tell. I've lived here for a long time, so my networks are really strong. But I think there's something about living on the Isle of Man. You put an idea out into the universe and I feel like it happens very quickly over here. So, for example, my husband and I have been thinking about buying a bigger sailboat for a couple of months, just, you know, on the periphery of our ideas, nothing kind of solid. I spoke to a couple of people and then they start looking for boats for you. And actually now we've been introduced to a boat that we're going to buy, and it's just amazing. And this lovely guy called Harry Owens is going to sell us his gorgeous boat. And I just, those connections and those networks, I think, are really strong on the Isle of Man, and that's really special.
There is something, isn't there, about being quite open-minded and believing in that. It's not for everybody, I suppose.
I guess you could see manifestation as putting an idea out there, and once it's kind of out there and you've made that choice, you're kind of working towards it, whether you kind of realize it or not. So that's kind of how I frame it, and I think you can't really go wrong with that.
In this field of marine science, then, we know just how precarious the environmental situation is sort of globally now. So how much does that play a part in your work? Is it all really doom and gloom?
Yeah, it's funny. When you tell people that you're a marine scientist, a lot of the time people go, oh, how amazing, that must be fantastic. And it is, in a sense, because I get to work on something I really passionately care about. But you're right, it can be really heavy to see what's going on in the world. And there have been points where I've felt like things are changing, but I don't know, you're aware of how the landscape feels at the moment and that we're perhaps moving away again from environmental consideration and how much kind of care and resource that we want to put into restoring things. So that can be quite challenging. But if I can do anything that makes a difference, then, you know, it's worth it.
So on a day-to-day basis then, what sort of things are you doing?
At the moment, I'm working on the Manx Blue Carbon Project, and that's a project with the Isle of Man government, with different academic institutions, and it's essentially looking at how we can map all of our marine habitats that store carbon and manage them in a way that helps support additional carbon storage and help us on our journey to net zero. So looking after marine habitats is great for climate mitigation, but it's also obviously great for the habitats and great for biodiversity. And, you know, a lot of these ecosystems provide a lot of benefits to humans as well. Like, they protect our coastlines from storms in the winter. We get food from them because they provide nursery areas for fish. So yeah, it's about promoting that and making sure that we're managing our marine ecosystems in a sustainable way.
The Isle of Man is one of the only UNESCO biosphere areas in the world, which sounds amazing, and we know what sort of goes into that. I just wonder sometimes whether people really appreciate what that actually means.
I think it can mean different things for different people. For me, I love the idea, you know, part of being a UNESCO project is having a real research focus, and I love that idea of being almost like a living laboratory and doing research. And, you know, the Isle of Man is a really small place, but especially in the marine space, we deliver far more. You know, we can do really innovative work, and that can scale up and really support larger nations, other island nations. And for me, that's where it's really special and exciting, that if we really take hold of that and be like, hey, we want to innovate and we want to trial new things. And because we have autonomy over our governance, and actually we're a small community-led nation, then we can actually do really good work with stakeholders and community groups to get good buy-in. We can be a really fantastic example of how you can make projects work really well. And the way that we manage our seas on the Isle of Man is world-leading, and I think maybe a lot of people wouldn't realise that. You know, our fisheries management is fantastic. We've got a network of marine nature reserves around our island. We're doing really innovative, world-leading work on our mud belt, which is, you know, in the offshore area. And I think if people were maybe a bit more aware of that and leaned into that potential of being a bit more experimental and innovative, it would start meaning a little bit more, and people would maybe understand a little bit more what a biosphere can be.
Maybe that does go back to the idea that whenever we seem to discuss the notion of environmental concerns, it is so negative. And actually, I think sometimes people just think, I can't cope with that, and maybe switch off a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. And it is heavy, but I think you can only switch off for so long. And I think it's the role that I have, but I feel like so many times I have a conversation and people end up telling me that they worry about this, or they're thinking about this, or they're trying to do these actions to live a better life or to be more community focused. And it feels like the tide is turning in that respect. And that gives me immense hope, because I think there is much more awareness now of where we're at, and, you know, you need to be aware to be able to make change. And I hope that's what's coming next.
Sometimes people worry, though, or not even worry, perhaps that's the wrong word, but just think, well, you know, I am one person, and what difference are my little actions going to make?
Yeah, and I read a really lovely story about this guy that used to go and protest the Vietnam War in America, and he would go in with a candle and he'd light a candle and stand outside of the White House every night. And somebody came up to him and said, you know, do you really think you and this candle is going to make that much of a difference? And he said, it's not me trying to make the difference. I don't want to be changed by the state of the world. This is what I believe in. So I think that's a really beautiful framing of it. This is how I want to show up in the world. This is what I want to do. This is the mark that I want to make, regardless of whether it makes a difference. And we've got examples all over with history of individuals making huge differences. And the reality is, if we make a difference every day, it just happens to be whether it's a positive or a negative or a neutral, we're always making a difference.
So the Isle of Man for you then has been this place that has inspired your career, without a doubt. How did you find the process of pursuing that coming from the Isle of Man? Because sometimes people think about the limitations of living on an island.
Yeah, it's funny, when you asked me to come on the podcast, I was thinking about what I really love about the island, and I don't know what it is, but I think the Isle of Man, per capita has got so many incredibly skilled people. I don't know if it's something about either when you do decide to leave and go and take on further education, it's a big step and you have to take that step and it requires a bit more bravery, or being on the Isle of Man and you don't have all the entertainment that you may have in the UK, so it forces you to kind of be more creative. I don't know, I just think the Isle of Man makes some really special, skilled and talented people. I mean, I've got so many friends that are just doing the most incredible work, whether that's in the art space or science, and I just feel like there's a lot of amazing people doing really cool things. And I haven't lived in the UK very much, but I don't feel like it's like that everywhere. So I think living on the Isle of Man gave me an interesting insight and perspective into life, and I think that helped me, if anything, on my journey.
Was there ever any question of you coming back?
I mean, I'm incredibly connected to my family, so I'm always kind of trying to juggle the desire for more adventure versus being rooted to my family. So I think it's something that I kind of have to continually maybe, you know, spend some time with my family, go and have an adventure. But yeah, the Isle of Man will always draw me back because it's just such a special place.
Can it fulfill that adventurous nature of yours?
I think to a degree, and obviously, you know, a lot of adventure is in your mind, isn't it? But yeah, we're talking about maybe doing some more sailing adventures in the future. And I sailed across from Hawaii to Vancouver back in 2018. And there's something about being in the middle of the ocean that just everything else melts away. And what's important is you and the people that are on the boat with you. And I guess I'm hungry for that again. I want that simplicity of life. And I think you can access that on land, but there's nothing like the speed in which you access it when you're in the middle of an ocean.
That notion of simplicity is an interesting one, because if you think about the motto, trade allure, and there is definitely that sense that we are not as hectic as some other places. So that sounds like that really taps into part of you as well.
Yeah, island life, and you get that all over the world, don't you? That islands move at a different pace. And I wonder what that's about, really. Because in the UK, you have small towns and villages. Maybe they move slowly as well. But yeah, I love that kind of slower pace of life. And I think it's the answer to a lot of the challenges that we have in relation to our consumption. If you live slower and more mindfully and, you know, enjoy what's on your doorstep, you kind of don't need as much or to consume as much. And I think the Isle of Man, you know, provides a real gift in that sense, because we've got the most gorgeous beaches and glens and hills in which to walk and enjoy. And I love at the weekends when you see everybody out and about and enjoying nature and what's to offer. And I think, you know, that's the benefit of really looking after nature. You know, it provides all these wonderful experiences for us.
I always think when you fly home and you're just coming in and you see still how green it is, you do just think, oh, that is pretty special.
Yeah, and I love, don't know if you've noticed at the moment, I always love that sign of autumn or spring when you get the mist over the hills and the early morning kind of misty. I just think it's so beautiful. And yeah, the Isle of Man can be hauntingly beautiful, considering it's so tiny. You can go to so many different spaces and they feel very different from the rugged coastlines that feel like they've been like that for thousands and thousands of years, to glens, which I just think glens always make me feel the idea that the Victorians planted them with the knowledge that they wouldn't be there to enjoy that. I just think that feeling, that sentiment is really special. So I love going to glens for that reason as well.
And as you talk about the coastline, obviously this is something that you will have seen many times, just the sort of island sitting in the sea the way it does, these little coves and caves that actually, if you're not the sort of person who goes out around the island, you'd never see it. So it is, again, going back to what we were talking about, that almost hidden world in some ways.
Yeah, down Scarlet, it just feels like you're walking on another planet sometimes with the lichens and, yeah, that harsh environment. I think that's my space. I love going to that coastal area, and our Radnofallen path is just, it's hard to find words for it really, but it's incredibly awe-inspiring. And I love seeing how it changes through the seasons.
And if you could almost paint us a picture of what it's like under the water, because as I say, most of us haven't really, I mean, it's too cold, right? It's too cold, honestly, to get into the sea. But, you know, what sort of things are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, it depends where you go. Scarlet obviously used to be a volcano, so freediving around there, there's a lot of cracks and gullies underwater, and you can swim underneath them, and especially when the sunlight comes through, you've got the kelp kind of golden and swaying, and then you'll see like a little wrasse or, you know, sea urchin, and Langness has got so many seals, and they'll follow you quite often. You'll kind of be swimming and you'll look behind you and there'll be like a couple of seals ready to kind of nibble at your fins and figure out why this person or what this thing is that must look so clumsy compared to how graceful they are. So it's really varied around the island, but incredibly diverse. And yeah, I think we've seen more and more dolphins and whales in recent years, which has been really gorgeous to see. So yeah, it's abundant and beautiful.
And you were just talking about the way that you notice the seasons change on land. Does the same happen underwater?
Yeah, so you'll get a lot more fish in the summer, and then they tend to go to deeper water in the winter. The water's much clearer, well, depending on how many storms we've had, but September is normally quite a nice clear time. You get plankton blooms, and so the first plankton bloom tends to be late April, early May, and it basically turns the seas initially into a green soup. So it blooms with phytoplankton first. So phyto is the plant plankton. It's green. It kind of turns our seas green. You could probably see it if you were coming into the island on the plane. And then the zooplankton comes to eat the phytoplankton. So it kind of turns into this intergalactic soup of creatures that you just wonder, how on earth are you a thing? You know, see-through, transparent, pulsing, weird comb jellies that have kind of phosphorescent sparkles. It's like going to another planet. There's something about getting in the sea. Again, it kind of washes away. Maybe I have a busy mind and that's why I'm constantly trying to wash away and get into the places that help calm it. But you just have to focus on where you are. You know, you're right, it is very cold. You have to know what you're doing. The seas around our island can be harsh and unforgiving if you don't know the right spots to go. But yeah, they're magical.
And there's something fascinating about the idea that there still could be plenty under there that's been undiscovered so far.
Yeah, I think we know more about the surface of the moon than we do about the bottom of the ocean. And we're learning more and more, and you know, technology is a fantastic thing to help us learn. And I think it's quite interesting because we're at a point in time where we're now able to access some of these harder to reach environments. So I'm thinking about like the abyssal plains and the deep ocean in like the Atlantic and the Pacific. And there's really interesting conversations at the moment of companies wanting to mine nodules there that for use in kind of electronics. And actually we're at a point where we've done so much damage to so much of the rest of the environment. We actually have a chance here to protect these environments before we have a really devastating impact upon them. So there's a lot of kind of discussion in that research field around how do we protect these habitats that we can now access, but how do we use our learning of how we've kind of maybe mistreated other environments in the past to inform our approach in the future.
It's something that we've talked about with previous guests on this podcast. You know, there is so much to love about the Isle of Man, but I think it's fair to say it feels like not everybody sees it. And you know, again, we talk so much about social media, which has got such a, you know, potential to do good and connect people and whatever. But it's also become this place where people vent a lot. Is that a mentality you can change? When you were saying, is this just an island mentality? Is it a small community thing?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I understand the frustrations that a lot of people are experiencing in the wider world as well as the Isle of Man. You know, we're kind of waking up to the realisation that the way that we're doing things isn't necessarily the best way of doing things. I think sometimes it's an easier route to blame and to criticise. I think in terms of how much energy it takes, it's much easier to point a finger and say what you're not happy with rather than maybe looking at yourself and asking, well, what am I doing to make it better? I would like to think that social media is a small vocal minority. I've deleted Facebook and it's great. I just deleted the app, but every time I do have to go on there for something, it just feels like a really negative space. But I don't think it's really representative of the island community, because I think when I go out there and have conversations with people, it's not the way that we're communicating, and I don't think the way that people communicate on social media is the way that they would hopefully communicate in our community. And I don't know what's done that or what gives people the way in which people kind of complain and be quite vulgar and very quick to try and take people down on there. And I just think it's bred this really negative space. And a lot of people talk to me about social media And I think we're almost giving it too much power in the sense. And I think it's important to go back into our communities and have conversations with people and to understand where people are coming from. But yeah, ultimately, I think we have to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, what are we doing for our communities? That's where community comes from. I feel like the Isle of Man loves being an island community. But I think we have to ask ourselves as individuals, well, what do we do to support that community?
There are some, actually, just thinking about it, some really heartening stories. So you see people posting, for example, maybe on one of the groups of saying, I'm struggling, I need this. Immediately, you will get dozens of people responding to that. You know, we've had a recent thing in the past few weeks where a visitor's dog went missing, and literally people who don't know these visitors at all, had no knowledge of who they were, literally turned up on spec to help search and stuff like that. So I think actually sometimes maybe it's channeling that a little bit more. And I suppose the way social media works, what you're more drawn to, you're going to see more of.
Yeah, I mean, social media is designed to be engaging. And unfortunately, the negative tends to generate more comments, more arguments. And that's what the social media platforms are designed to do. And that's why I think we get funneled to all those that negativity. You know, social media does have a huge potential for good and for connection and sharing things and like marketplace, giving things away for free or, you know, finding deals and all that sort of thing. But yeah, it has to be used with caution, I think. But I love the Isle of Man. I love the fact that, you know, you might see on Facebook someone's lost a phone or a wallet. You know, I don't know if there's many places in the world. I often misplace things. My husband probably finds it quite irritating. I put things down and I just kind of walk off. But I know if I ever lose a phone or my wallet or anything, I just don't ever feel worried. I just think it will turn up. And I think that's a very unique thing to the Isle of Man.
Well, yeah, you can go out and leave your house unlocked. I mean, probably shouldn't, but, you know, people do, don't they?
Yeah, I locked my car keys in my car the other day because my locking system broke and I shouldn't be keeping my car keys in my car, and I won't anymore because I had to break into my own car. But, you know, that's the beauty of living on a small island, I think, that you can be very lax in that sense. And I think everybody deserves that. Everyone deserves to feel safe in their community.
And maybe, again, if you haven't had any experience of living elsewhere, how would you appreciate that if you don't know any different?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's very unique. I can't really think of many places in the world where we are as safe as we are here. And the community are there to support you and champion you. And yeah, we're very lucky.
And if you had to describe the island to somebody who had never heard of it before, what would you say?
I'd say an incredibly beautiful rock in the middle of the Irish Sea that's full of really unique people. I feel that the Isle of Man has got a really, you know, you meet so many people with incredibly interesting stories, whether they've grown up on the Isle of Man or they've kind of come in some roundabout way to living on the Isle of Man. I think there's some really special people, really understand what's important in life. Well worth a visit. I keep trying to think of the phrase, but we're bigger than our size. There's a lot of wonder here.
Can you see yourself ever being anywhere else?
I think I definitely want to have some more adventures. I think it's important to have perspective and to try new things and to experience different cultures. And I would like to see that in the Isle of Man as well. I think I'd like to see it shift and to be more open to other cultures and different things in the future. So I hope I can go away and, you know, live and experience different things and come back. I'll always be connected and I'll always have a foot in the door of the Isle of Man. But yeah, there's so much out there, isn't there? And there's so many amazing people and amazing places to see. So yeah, I don't know is the answer to that. We'll have to wait and see.
And do you think the Isle of Man is ready to embrace new cultures?
I think they're quite scared in a way. Well, who's they? Trying not to kind of give the voice to the vocal minority again. But I think we do that anyway. You know, I think there's so many different people that you meet that have come through different experiences in different places. And I think it's just about being open to the idea that we already are. And we already have been open to different cultures.
I guess that's what's made us in some ways, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So just understanding and appreciating that, really.
From your point of view then, September, as we're speaking now, is the time to get in the water, yeah?
It's the warmest time of the year, pretty much. Yeah, it's not going to get any warmer than this. Nice and clear. Obviously, we do get some September storms, but it can be fun to play around in the waves as well. So, yeah, would very much recommend getting in the sea this month.
I'll take your word for that one, Ro. And just finally, we ask people on this podcast to suggest somebody else to come on and tell us why they love the Isle of Man. Would you have somebody in mind?
Ooh, I'm going to nominate Megan Hindley. She's an incredible artist and she's a tattoo artist on the island. And she's a Manx girl that's grown up here, and she's moved away. She lived, you know, in London, and she's recently moved back and had a little boy. And I just think, yeah, she'd probably have some really great insights.
Amazing. I'll let you just float the idea with her,
she's
and then we'll
hate
be in
me.
Touch. Rowan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Rowan Henthorne, and I'm delighted to say I have since spoken to Megan, and she will be appearing on the podcast in a future edition. And I think Rowan just put it so beautifully, didn't she, about why the Isle of Man is just so unique, and thinking about the waters around here. Yeah, I'm still not going to go in it, though, I don't think. It is far too cold still. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast, and until next time, take care. Bye-bye.